Friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. The words again of St. Paul from the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. This is God's word. Please be seated. So are you married? Some of us, yes. Some of us know, maybe some of us no longer. So let's broaden out the question then. Are there times when you mourn? Are there times when you rejoice? Do you ever buy things? Or do you have any dealings with this world? Then I have two words for you today. Stop it. That's it. Stop it. Live like you're not married. Stop mourning. Stop rejoicing. Live as if you've never purchased anything. Live as if you have no dealings with this world. And lest you think I've gone off the deep end, yeah, this is a version, I should probably say, a simplified version of what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. And if you're going to send me to the funny farm, you're going to have to send Paul along with me because he's the one who said this. But of course, we confess that these are not crazy words. These are God's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell us something, to tell the church to hold lightly to the things of this world. So let's just break it down a little piece at a time. First of all, he says, let those who have wives live as though they have none. And some of you wives are saying, hey, my husband already does that. But that's not the point. The point that Paul is making here is that whether you're a husband or a wife, you should live as though you're not married. And before you write that off as the words of, well, bachelor Paul, who obviously doesn't know anything about marriage, remember, this is the same Paul who wrote to the Ephesian Christians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And yet here he says, husbands, live as though you have no wife. So is he contradicting himself? And then he says, in the 30th verse, those who mourn should live as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they are not rejoicing. And once again, it sounds like Paul is contradicting himself, because he said to the Romans, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. But now he says, don't do either. If you're mourning, then don't. And if you're rejoicing, then don't live as though you're rejoicing. And then there is this whole thing about not buying goods or having any dealings with this world. So he says, those who buy should live as though they have no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. And you read that and you almost might think that, is Paul some kind of a hippie or something? Or is he maybe a survivalist who's dropping off of the grid? But remember, Paul was also a tent maker. That's how he supported himself in his ministry. He had dealings with the world. He had dealings with his customers. And of course, elsewhere, Paul encourages hard work and honest labor for us as Christians. And yet here he says, live as though you have no goods, as though you have no dealings with the world. Well, to make sense out of all of that, We have to remember the words of Paul that stand like bookends on either side of these statements. So at the front end, he says in verse 29, "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short." And then on the back end of all of these sayings, he says this, "For the present form of this world is passing away." And now Paul's point begins to come into focus. We are living in a world that is passing away, and the time is short. So don't cling to the things of this world as if those things are of greatest value. They are passing away. Keep a light hold on the things of this world, and instead take a firm grasp of the things that are going to endure even when this world has passed away. So this is Paul's version of that old saying, don't lose sight of the forest for the trees. Don't get so caught up in the momentary things of this world that you lose sight of what's happening to this world. That this world is passing away. That our time is very short. That's the point Paul is making in his inimitable way. So Paul is not contradicting himself. I'm reminded of when Luther said in the hymn, you know, take they our wife, goods, fame, child and wife, let these all be gone. But Luther didn't mean those things are worthless. He simply meant that we need to keep a light hold compared to what's coming, the big picture here. And so also Paul is not contradicting himself when on the one hand he says husbands should live as though they have no wife, and on the other hand a husband must love his wife as Christ loved the church. He's just making a different point. Marriage is good. Buying and owning stuff is good. Those things are protected by God in His commandments. They are good. Dealing with others is good. Releasing emotions through your mourning or through rejoicing, that's all good. And elsewhere, Paul affirms that all of these are the gifts of God for our good. But here, what he's saying is, just don't be short-sighted in all of that. Don't forget that all of this is temporary and that it's coming to an end. Our problem, I don't know, my problem anyway, is that I tend to turn the good gifts of God into idols that I love and trust more than I do God to give meaning to my life and direction and happiness and fulfillment. Our problem is that we allow the good gifts of God to squeeze God out of our lives and out of our minds and families and homes, to squeeze God out of our schedules, out of our Sundays, out of our priorities. Or to say it as Jesus said it in the parable of the sower, we hear the word, but then we permit the cares of this world to choke it out. So these words of St. Paul are a call. We're talking about the call today. They are God's call upon us to do some serious self-examination. We just said in the hymn, Jesus is my priceless treasure. And yet, I have to confess, I don't know Him as I should. He has the words of eternal life. And yet, I am not as familiar with those words as I ought to be. So now I have to ask myself, what's getting in the way? What is it in this world that is stopping me from knowing Christ better in His Word? What is taking the place of regular worship and of devotions in my life and for my family? What's getting in the way? Why are my prayers so few and far between? Have I become too busy to talk to my Heavenly Father? What's getting in the way? And what's taking up my field of vision so that I've lost sight of the big picture, the perspective of eternity? This is what Paul is getting at today. Hold lightly to the things of this world. That doesn't mean that marriage or having things or having dealings with others or emotions, it doesn't mean though those things aren't important. It just means you got to keep your perspective on what's more important, what's enduring. The appointed time is growing very short. The present form of this world is passing away, and it would be an eternal tragedy if in clinging to this world too tightly, we lost the world to come. I'm reminded of a boy who got his hand stuck in an expensive vase that the parents had on a little table in the front foyer of their house. This was a very treasured possession to them, and expensive. But the boy had stuck his hand into this vase, and for the world, they could not get his hand out of that vase. And the parents tried, they tugged on the vase while the boy was trying to pull his hand out, and they filled the vase with soapy water to try to make his hand slippery so that it would slide out, and nothing worked. So finally, they decided there was only one thing that they could do. They had to do it, as expensive as the vase was. So they did it. They broke the vase, only to discover that inside that vase, the boy had been holding on with clenched fist to a dime that he had dropped into the vase. And then if he had just let go of that dime, they wouldn't have lost what was so truly valuable. We can't make that same mistake, holding on so tightly to this present world that we forfeit what's most valuable, what's eternal. This world is passing away. The new world is coming. And notice, by the way, that Paul says that the present form of this world is passing away, not the world itself. We have to remember that when Jesus died on the cross, He redeemed not just us, but all of His creation. He is saving His entire creation. He will not yield an inch of turf to the enemy. This world is being redeemed to become the home of the righteous forever. As Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And in Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I am making all things new." The whole creation will be renewed for His followers. It will be this world, but it will be in a new form. But for now, we still live in this world in its present form. A world that is subject to death and decay and hatred and malice and suffering and sorrow of all kind. This present world has been corrupted by sin. And so where do we find our stability? Our security in this world that's passing away? In one place only. And we said it today in Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. In God alone we can live confidently and valiantly in this shaky, insecure, corrupt world of ours. And in Him you can venture out on paths unknown, knowing that He will take you by the hand and He will lead you. He is your security. He is your rock. And He is your salvation. Having sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And did you hear the words of Jesus in our gospel reading today? He says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So you see, you can handle the time being short because the time that we have has been fulfilled. Jesus has fulfilled it. He's filled it up with His grace and His salvation. He's done everything that you needed to have done so that you can face the end of time confidently because He took God's judgment upon Himself for you. By His death at the cross, Jesus suffered the punishment that we deserve so that we no longer have to fear the end of times when this present world in its present form comes to an end. Jesus died for all of my idolatry. He died for all of my inordinate love of the things of this transitory world. He died for all of my misplaced priorities. He died for my short-sightedness. He died for all of those times when I allowed this world to squeeze Him out of my life. Therefore, repent, He says, and live. Believe this gospel, this good news, that you are forgiven. You have a Redeemer who is risen from the grave and who's returning to raise you from yours, to give you eternal life, His righteousness, His joy, treasures and pleasures at His right hand forevermore, all the free gifts of His mercy and grace. And now we can hold on to the things of this world with a little bit of a lighter grip and hold on instead to Jesus Christ and to cling to His cross with all of our might. And now when Jesus says, "Follow me," you can do exactly what the disciples did in the gospel reading today. Let go of the nets, leave family even, and devote yourselves to Christ. You are also free to let go. Follow where Jesus leads, knowing that your security and your joy are not found in the things of this present world, but in Christ who loved you. That's your security. That is our faith. That is our salvation. Hold lightly to the things of this world. Hold tightly to the things of God. Shall we pray? O Lord, my God, I confess before you today that I have loved too much, held on too tightly to the things of this transitory world. I have let these things squeeze you out of my life. O Lord, forgive me for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of His suffering and death, wash me clean. And now, O Lord, restored to you in the forgiveness of sins, help me to remember that this world in its present form is passing away, and so to cling ever more tightly to you and to the cross of Jesus. I pray these things in His holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.